Max, he's got a map in his hand, followed by Sergeant Kabuki Man. The chicken zombies have got on a rage, the blood-sucking freaks are trapped in a cage. Uncle Lloydy is tossing a cookie, that's what he gets for blowing his boogie. The monster in the closet isn't a prick, but the killer condom will bite off your dick. It's not a party if it's not in your pants, so come on and do the trauma dance. 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 The kids at Newcom High are late for class again. Fatty drives the bus around the bend. Mother's Day was almost a year ago. Igor and the lunatics stole the show. Uncle Lloydy is tossing a cookie. That's what he gets for blowing his boogie. The monster in the closet isn't a prick, but the killer condom will bite off your dick. It's not a party if it's not in your pants, so come on and do the trauma dance. Do the trauma dance. Do the trauma dance. Trauma dance. Do the 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 trauma dance.
Cool, so we'll go in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. And welcome once again to the Gore Press Gorecast. It's still Trauma Month and we are covering Father's Day from last year. But before that, obviously, I am Dangerous Jamie. Joining me, as always, is the wonderful Sarah. Hello, Sarah.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm good. A little bit ill again, but I won't be coughing and spluttering through this one, thankfully.
That's good. Were you ill last week? Was it last week when you were ill?
It was a couple of weeks ago now.
Yeah.
Good. How are you?
I'm okay, you know. In non-Gorecast related news, I lost my job. So there's that.
Yeah.
But now I get to go to Grimfest and not miss out on some of the interviews that were maybe going to clash. We'll talk about that a bit more at the end. Let's jump into what we have been watching. Now, you said you used to be, before we started recording, that you've not watched an awful lot this week.
I haven't. I've not had a chance this week, sadly. I've only watched two things, in fact.
Well, I'll kick off then with a few, and then you can jump in.
Okay.
A bit later. So, I rewatched some stuff. That's not really important. I watched Detention, which we talked about briefly a few weeks ago.
Yeah. I can't remember exactly what was said about it, but I really enjoyed it.
I loved it.
Did I recommend that to you, or...?
Yes, you did.
Yeah, cool.
I completely loved it. I was on board with it from, like, the opening scene. From, like, within, like, 2 minutes, I was completely on board.
I figured you would be.
Yeah, it's very much the sort of thing that I'm very into. It's sort of like Greg Araki via like Edgar Wright, with some extra horror and gore thrown in, which is what I'm always into.
Yeah. Is that I think that's almost exactly how I described it.
Yeah, maybe.
In my review. I got the exact same vibe.
It's just brilliant. If anyone's not seen it yet, just seek it out. It's incredible. I would be very surprised if it gets knocked off any of my year-end lists. There's going to have to be a really good next 2 months for it to get knocked out of a list.
We shall see.
It was just incredible. I loved it so much. I could just watch it again.
Yeah, I watched it twice in the same week.
Mm.
It's that sort of film.
Yeah, it definitely is. I think it stands. I think it'll stand up along a lot to repeat viewings. Sorry.
Yeah, because there's so much happening. It's literally just this kind of brutal onslaught of visual after visual after visual. So there's bound to be stuff you pick up
and even
each
like,
time.
Even outside of the visuals, like the jokes and the references,
yeah,
of which
absolutely.
There are many. It's almost like, like what? Like a sort of Zucker Abrams type of relentless, just constant joke after joke, like 100 jokes per minute or something.
Yeah, there's no real time to pause and catch a breath, that's for sure.
I think about repeat viewings of it. I think it was Dan Ortey from the Mondo Movie Podcast who said that, like, watching it again almost defeats the purpose because it's sort of designed to be a fairly sort of throwaway film with, like, big ideas.
Yeah.
But it's just so good. I can't imagine not watching it again. What else did I watch? I watched a film put together by a modelling company for alternative models that some of our listeners may be familiar with called Suicide Girls Must Die. It was just about the worst thing I'd ever seen.
Wow.
So, like, basically the plot is some suicide girls go to a place to shoot a calendar. And then they end up sort of disappearing one by one after they disturb some graves. And it was just terrible. There's nothing I can say about it. It was boring. There's long sections of like where they're doing the photography. And even that, which is mostly just boobs, just couldn't even save it. There wasn't like one shining light in the film.
Wow.
It's an absolute 1 out of 10.
That's damning stuff.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Tell me one of yours, go on.
One of the two.
Go on.
I rewatched Amityville 2. I recently bought a box set of like the first three Amityvilles and one of the documentaries that was made about it.
Yeah.
So I've been trying to rewatch them. I've only got up to the second one. It was way worse than I remembered.
Yeah, it's not aged well at all.
No, it hasn't. It didn't hold my interest at all. I was watching it and I kept drifting off and checking my phone, and that's never a good sign. It was just like somebody had written a handbook on how to make the most boring haunted house movie in the world, and they'd followed it to the note, to the letter. It was just, yeah. I don't know, maybe I was in the wrong mood. But I did not enjoy it at all on second watch.
It's been such a long time since I've seen it that I just don't remember it very much at all.
And there have been so many Amityville movies now that I think I've confused some of them.
Yeah, they all do blur into one.
Yeah. Because I do very vividly remember there being one where somebody puts their hand down a garbage disposal. Does that ring a bell?
I think that might be the third one.
Is that the third? Because I convinced myself that was the second one, but it didn't happen, so maybe I dreamt that. Who knows?
Fair enough. I also watched Drive Through. This is a film that came to my attention through some blogs. I think Emily over at Deadly Dolls House reviewed it, and it looked really great.
Is that, I think, is that the one with Leighton Meester in? And,
yeah.
Yeah, I've seen that.
I thought it was crap.
Yeah, so did I.
It was just, like, so derivative of, like, every slasher film ever. But, like it was directed by someone who was trying to make a Slipknot music video.
I mean, if it's the one I'm thinking of, they tried to be all, like, self-knowing with the... Was it Morgan Spurlock cameo?
Yeah.
And it just didn't work. Didn't work for me.
I mean, there were some cool kills, and, like, I guess the clown was kind of a coolish character, but, like...
Sort of.
I mean, watching it after I'd watched Detention, just...
Maybe that's just altered your gauge.
Well, I texted you as soon as I finished watching Detention saying, I think Detention may have ruined me for other films.
It wasn't even a complete sentence. I think you said something about you think detention's ruined for other films. You were that excited.
Yeah, maybe. And like the entire time I was watching it, I just kept thinking about that one bit of detention where she's talking to the police, and she's like, "It's just like that movie." And she's like, "Yeah, Cinderella," and they're like, "No, Scream."
Yeah.
It was. That's just what it was. Another one that I watched. There'll be a review on GorePress possibly today. It's written. It just needs tightening up. Okay. And that was for an anthology film that came out this year called Scary or Die.
Oh, I didn't realise that was an anthology.
Yeah, it is. It's quite good. I liked it more than I expected to.
Hmm.
I didn't realise it was an anthology going into it either. But
no, I didn't really know a lot about it, I'll be honest. I have heard of it, but I do like a good anthology. Was this a good anthology?
There were some good moments. There were some really good ideas. There were some good moments. Some of them ran a little bit long. There was the opening segment was what's that guy called that was in that film that time? Oh,
oh, him.
The guy that was in the Facebook photo driving around thing. Bill Oberst Jr., that's his name. Is that his name?
The Facebook photo driving around thing.
That Facebook short film lollipop.
Bill Oberst Jr., yes.
That's his name, right. So he was in the first one, and that was about, like, him being white trash, killing some Mexicans. The second one was just shit, nothing happened. No, wait, I don't remember what order they're in. One of them was about, like, a guy that rescued some woman from being dragged away by a creepy man, and that one was okay. The third one, or the fourth one, there's one that's called Clowned, which is the one that's on the box.
Mm-hmm.
And it ran, it was the longest one, it ran a bit long, but it was such a great idea that I just loved it. That's about a guy who gets bitten by a creepy clown and then turns slowly into a creepy clown.
Okay, that does sound pretty scary.
It's very silly, but they handle it like really seriously. So there's this weird sort of juxtaposition of like how ridiculous it is, matched with how serious they take it. And I think it's handled quite well, but it is a little bit long.
Okay.
And then the last part was just a bit of shit. So I mean, it's pretty good. For a more coherent review, you can read my review on the website.
Cool.
Go on, what's your last one?
The only other thing I've really seen this week was Hyder in the House, after your recommendation a couple of weeks ago.
How was it?
Well, not really what I expected.
Did you expect? Tell me what you expected.
Well, because you kind of raved about it, and then...
I didn't really rave about anything other than the fact that it's Gary Busey hiding in someone's house.
Which is a truly terrifying notion.
Yeah.
I have an attic, and I'm quite scared now. I don't know. It was not what I expected. Because everything I'd read everywhere else had sort of been quite positive about it, and they praised his performance, and, like, was he even aware he was in a film? Because he was just being Boosie, wasn't he?
Of course he was. Who else can he be?
Well... lots of people thus acting. But, yeah, I don't know. It was very strange. I mean, the concept alone is terrifying, but rather than it being kind of an accomplished piece of filmmaking, which is more what I was expecting, it kind of ended up going into the category of films that I would watch with friends to get drunk to.
No, definitely. That's how I recommended it.
Okay, I forgot about that then, clearly. Yeah, I mean, I bought it on DVD, I'll keep it, I'll probably watch it again, with friends and beers. Yeah, it was fun.
Yeah. Okay, the only other thing I watched was, we talked a little bit about this last week, I've sort of been catching up with the Paradise Lost films, the films about the West Memphis 3, so I could watch the third one, which I totally didn't need to do, because obviously they're all covered in the third one. Except the only thing that's different in Paradise Lost 3 Purgatory, is there any, like, sense of impartiality or, like, sort of journalistic integrity is sort of all thrown away? And at this point, it's just taken as a given that the West Memphis 3 are innocent, which is what I personally believe, but it's not necessarily... it's not been proven. Nothing's been proven. The only thing that's been proven is that that there's no evidence that it was them at the scene.
Yeah.
And, like, it's a really well put together documentary, and there's some bits that are quite emotional, as there are in all of them. But, I mean, the impartiality of it was just a bit of a letdown. Mm. I was sort of hoping for a bit more of a journalistic take on it, which I didn't get. Was that you just replying to Nicola? Yeah, it was.
Multitasking. I'm good at that.
So yeah, that was. It's quite good. I mean, if you've got any doubt that the West Memphis 3 aren't innocent, if you think that there's a chance that they might be guilty, mm-hmm. I wouldn't bother watching it because you're not going to see anything that's like that caters to what you believe. Like, it's just taken as read that they are that they're innocent at this point.
Fair enough.
And on that note, that shiny, bright note of joy, let's take a quick break and we'll come back and talk about me burping and then Father's Day.
We don't really need to discuss that. Let's gloss over that, in fact.
Well, it's a bit late for that now, isn't it?
Let's take a break.
Okay, back after this.
If you fancy dropping us a line at the Goal Press Scorecast, there's a number of different ways you can do that. You can send all your competition entries, feedback and comments to podcast@goalpress.com. If you're on Facebook, you can find us at facebook.com/goalcast. Or if you're on Twitter, you can follow us @goalcastx.
Someone there? John? You? After all these years, you've come for me. There is a boy. Many years ago, he tried to kill the Falkman. He left us a long time ago.
You know any dads go missing around here, motherfucker?
But this time, it's a girl, man.
You seen your dad burn to death in front of you?
What is the fuck, man?
Father's Day killer, cannibal man killer. None of those damn reporters can give it any name they want. But I got my eye on you and the degenerate sister of yours, Chelsea. So you tell her I said hi.
You must find this man, eh?
I'm not a dad!
You must find him.
Father O'Flynn sent me, and I've traveled across the world to speak to you.
I hurt a lot of people in my life, Father. And I don't want to hurt anymore.
I prayed every night that you would come and find me, but you never did.
I don't want you putting your life on the line over some stupid vendetta for the Father's Day killer.
Why not? You did. And I'm going to finish what you couldn't.
Says that he that sees but one path shall stand in the way of the Phugmanicus.
Why?
There's no time to explain.
All glory to the Phugman.
Happy Father's Day.
We're back and we're talking Father's Day. It's Troma, obviously, because it's Troma Month. That'd be stupid if it wasn't Troma, or if it was Troma when it wasn't Troma Month. Maybe that's less stupid. Who knows? It's from 2011, directed by, what do they call themselves, Astron 6, mm-hmm. Which is what I guess is a group of pals, pally-friendly types. The names I've got here are Adam Brooks, Jeremy Gillespie, Matthew Kennedy, Stephen Katansky, Connor Sweeney. They seem to have worked together on a few short projects and stuff in the past.
Okay.
And this is what seems to be, it's definitely their first feature altogether. And you've got a synopsis, so giz it. Let's have it.
Okie dokie. Well, on the back of the DVD, it says, "Lock up your fathers. A long, long time ago, in a town north of Tromaville, there was a bad, bad man who raped and killed dads. Nobody could stop the fat monster until a mysterious stranger took a stand. Some say he was avenging his own father. Some say he was just crazy. The stranger could not have known the hell that was to follow."
It's not really much of a synopsis.
It's not.
It sets the ground stuff. The ground stuff.
I think it's enough of a synopsis, though.
Yeah.
Having seen it now.
So the plot follows Ahab. Ahab 666, as he's referred to on his license plate.
Mm-hmm.
Who is sort of some dad avenger who has moved to the wilderness of Canada and is sort of willed back into back to the big city by a priest after this this dad rapist and killer comes back. Seems to be about right?
More or less, yeah.
It's a trauma film, but I think it's a trauma acquisition.
Well, I don't know.
It's very trauma-y.
It's very trauma-y, and Lloyd Kaufman makes his cameo in there, so...
Yeah, it's an extended Lloyd Kaufman cameo.
It is.
I really liked it. I liked that bit, especially.
Yeah.
Especially his second bit, when he comes back again. Very funny. It's one of the sort of nouveau grindhouse type things...
Yeah,
sort of
in the same vein as like
faux retro,
Hobo with a Shotgun and Planet Terror, yeah, and Machete and all that goth.
I think this is the one. Right, I was really into it at the beginning. I was really like, this is cool. It looks really authentic. Probably the most authentic that I've seen.
Yeah.
It looks really authentic. It feels really authentic. We've talked a lot about nostalgia. Oh, I guess we'll get into that again later. Boringly enough, but then it started sort of spoofing it, and I didn't like that at all.
Where would you say that started?
I guess in Canada.
When
the priest goes there to.
It took a while to set the tone, really, because the beginning bit I wasn't sure what to make of it. It was very, very grindhouse, and then they seemed to pull the really obvious humour out of nowhere.
Yeah.
And it was at that point that I actually started enjoying it more.
See, that it was the opposite for me. I didn't enjoy it less, but I just sort of didn't enjoy it on the same level.
Mm.
Like, I found all the comedy funny, because it is. I mean, it's funny that he tries to tap a maple tree that isn't a maple tree. That's amusing, right? Yeah, but like stuff like that, I thought it was funny, but it was like, it's not authentic. And I was really hoping for something nice and authentic.
I understand what you're saying, but surely if you want an authentic grindhouse movie, watch something from the, you know, the authentic grindhouse era. This is very much a throwback.
I do that regularly. But I was just hoping, I just didn't want it to be so spoofy. It felt very spoofy.
I kind of enjoyed that.
And it sort of detracted from it a little bit. It reminded me a lot of The Taint. Which, have you seen The Taint yet?
No, I haven't.
I think you should watch it.
Okay.
Have we not talked about it?
I've heard you mention it before. I don't know if that was on or off air.
Possibly. Well, it's very much, it's a sort of throwback, but it's shot like really, really amateurish by like a bunch of friends, I guess in like somewhere in the Midwest or something like that. And it's about All the men in the world have gone really, really incredibly misogynistic and are just killing all the women and each other.
Okay.
And it's really fun. It's very violent. Like, the violence scenes in that reminded me a lot of the violent stuff in this. Or the other way around, rather. And it's very much... It's sort of a throwback, but it's very much like a sort of video... What do they used to call them? Camcorder Coppola type. The Dead Next Door sort of stuff.
Okay.
And I recommend it. It's not great. I think Troma picked it up. In fact, I'm pretty sure Troma picked it up.
Mm-hmm.
It's worth mentioning. I forgot to mention it the last 2 weeks. I did put a link on the Facebook page. Troma have pretty much got all of their back catalogue on their YouTube page to watch for free.
Oh, yeah, you did mention that. Yeah.
And Mother's Day is not on there, Father's Day is not on there, because I guess it just came out. Everything that's not been picked up for distribution by Arrow seems to be on there. So you've got your Nukem High sequels, but the first Nukem High is not there. And it's amazing. It's just amazing. Like, it just, I don't know, I don't even know how much I can gush about the fact that a film company in 2012, like, are just giving away all their stuff for free.
Well, I mean, I don't know nearly as much about Troma as you do, but they've never struck me as a company that were about the money, really. So it's not that surprising.
I mean, it's not surprising, but it's just, it's amazing.
Yeah, no, it's like, awesome.
I mean, they need money to keep making films, but I think it's because, I think they're just, like, very aware of, like, illegal downloads.
Yeah.
And they're like, well, if people are going to illegally download it, they might as well watch it on our channel, on our terms.
Mm.
And then...
Well, I think that's sensible, to be honest, because...
No, definitely.
Like, if people are going to do it anyway.
They've got this fucking amazing punk ethic, and I love it.
Mm.
I mean, I sort of... We talked a little bit about how I'd maybe fallen out with Troma a little bit. I didn't say it like that. Like, maybe I just didn't love them as much as I had in my sort of late teens,
mm-hmm.
early teens, which is my entire teens, I guess.
Well, I remember we had a conversation not so long ago, and I think it was... You who told me to watch Romeo and Juliet because you loved it so much, and then is it Romeo and Juliet? And then more recently, you were saying you'd really fallen out with it.
I guess the Romeo and Juliet conversation was maybe 5 or 6 years ago.
Oh yeah, it was a while ago now.
Yeah. But like stuff like that has really, like, really, 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 just makes me fall back in love with the company. Maybe I don't love all the films as much as I used to, and I don't love some of the stuff, but, like, that idea is just fucking lovely, and it's just kudos to Troma for being ballsy enough to do it.
Yeah, absolutely. They've got the right idea. So, back to Father's Day.
Yeah, so Father's Day. What was I even saying?
Something about the taint.
Ah, right, yeah, so the taint. I mean, that sort of leads... It does remind me of the taint quite a lot. Yeah, the comedy sort of detracted from it. That's probably... I thought the performances were quite good.
For the most part, yeah.
I was really struck by, like, some of the best performances I've seen in a new Troma film in a long time.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it makes me a little bit sad that... I mean, Lloyd Kaufman had always been opposed to not shooting on film.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm pretty sure he's been quoted as saying, "I'm a filmmaker, not a video maker," or whatever, something like that.
Yeah.
And that's why he said Tales from the Crapper was such a flop or a mess or something, which was both of those, I guess. And so. Like, seeing some of the stuff that, like, people put out in low-budget movies really... It doesn't feel to me like a film because it's not a film. It's a DV video or whatever. But this, it just looked really good. I don't know what they shot on. I don't know how much they shot for. But I guess the budget, according to this, this being IMDb, mm-hmm. is 10 grand.
Oh, wow.
Which is incredible.
Yeah, they did really well.
They did. I mean, some of the shots are the sort of amateurish you could only get with a DV cam.
Yeah, at points it was pretty obvious.
Yeah.
But I don't think it affected the overall experience for me too much.
No. Well, I think because you've got the effect on there to make it look a bit old.
Yeah.
And it's a good effect. It's not just like shaking the camera like it was a negative movie. Not the camera, though, but the image in like whatever editing software you use to get the to get that effect. It looked really authentic. It really, really did. And it felt really authentic.
Yeah, there was some, I think even down to the direction, because there were some really, some shots were just kind of an odd choice, I think.
Yeah.
But it was so fitting. It was really authentic. Like, those were the sort of weird angles and weird shots that you would get in those kind of movies. So I think even down to that, it was just really, really well done.
Yeah.
Very well observed.
Really, really was. And I can't believe it was made for that low of a budget.
Yeah.
That's really took me by surprise. It took me, I didn't realise who the protagonist was going to be for ages. I didn't know if it was going to be the cops versus Ahab, and we could have been on either side, or if it was going to be, you said, what's his name, Twink.
Yeah.
So that sort of, I got a bit lost in it for a little bit. I didn't know what was going on for a while.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I really liked it. There's a really good line. I mentioned that some of the spoofier stuff didn't really work on the level, or didn't, it sort of detracted from the realism.
Mm-hmm.
Quote, or authenticity is a better word, yeah. But there's a great line where I didn't even pick up on how hilarious it was meant to be until like a few minutes after I'd thought about it, and it's when the priest is talking to Twink on the bridge, and he's like, "You don't know what's happened. Your dad's never been murdered or whatever." And he's like, "No, but I have read several grisly accounts of the crucifixion," which is a great line. I love that.
There was a lot of that throughout, though.
Yeah.
Like, for such a low-budget movie, some of the dialogue was pretty genuinely funny.
Yeah. I love the idea of the baddie being called the Fuckman.
Yeah, we should probably point out that we got a review on iTunes recently that was basically very positive, but said that we swore too much. Yeah,
yeah.
We have no option this week.
We really don't. But like, yeah. it's spelled with a H. It's F U C H.
Yeah, okay.
But it's the Fuckman.
The Fuckmanicus, whatever.
The Fuckmanus.
Yeah.
I was surprised. I really thought that was Joe Fleischaker, but it isn't, which was a shame.
Oh.
Joe Fleischaker's your fat guy you get in all your trauma films.
Yeah.
But it wasn't, which was a shame, but never mind.
Oh, well.
I thought, after a while, the grindhousey, the grindhousey feel got a bit boring. It got to the point where it was just like, because they'd given up on, like, being authentic. It felt like it was just there as a gimmick after that. It was,
Maybe.
When I really started to notice it, it was the scene where the priest gets that head delivered to him.
Mm.
And it was after that, and I was just like, well, I mean, this, it's not really trying to be that anymore, so it's just there as a gimmick now, which was a little bit upsetting.
Yeah, it didn't occur to me while I was watching it. I suppose you've got a point, but I don't know. I think it's obvious from the outset that that's going to be their gimmick, though.
Yeah. But, like, it's their gimmick to start with, and as much as, like, the gimmick is...
But they couldn't
this
just
is
abandon
a, this...
that halfway well, through, could they?
Well, they did in Machete.
I suppose.
But I mean, they couldn't just abandon it halfway through. But it's more the fact that it's like, they started and they were like, this is what we're doing. We're making a sort of neo grindhouse film, or a retro style grindhouse film.
Yeah.
But then when they moved away from it into the sort of spoofy stuff, like, they weren't spoofing like the grindhouse film. They were just sort of spoofing general films, weren't they? They weren't like, it wasn't like a grindhouse movie or whatever. It was Father's Day. And so, like, yeah. when it sort of moved away from the authenticity, it was just a film at that point. And they weren't, if they were sort of making more pointed sort of grindhouse spoof type things, then maybe it'd be slightly more warranted.
Yeah, I agree and I disagree. Like, I agree with what you're saying, but it just didn't affect the movie for me.
Right.
I think I enjoyed this a lot more than you did.
I don't know about that. I definitely enjoyed it.
Okay.
I'm just picking holes because that's what I like to do.
Okay, you do.
All your trauma tropes are there. It's very much a trauma film, like we said at the beginning.
You've got
your rape, you've got your gore, you've got your
penises. Lots of them.
Yeah, you've got incest. That's a big thing in trauma, and obviously yep. that makes an appearance here. You've got your random nudity for no reason. Why are there topless angels in heaven?
Well,
I love it. It's genius.
Yeah.
I guess there'd be no need for clothes in heaven.
Probably not, no. I think you're overthinking this.
I'm just thinking about topless people.
You've gone, haven't you?
Yeah, there's a few, like, sort of highbrow references that I liked. They go to the Queequeg Hotel.
Yeah.
There's a few other ones like that, but I didn't write them down, which I liked. Obviously, there's the whole Ahab, Queequeg, Moby Dick thing mm-hmm. throughout. Yeah, and then Lloyd Kaufman plays both... Well, this is a spoiler, so...
Massive, massive spoiler.
I mean, does it matter?
No.
But it's a spoiler anyway. So, Lloyd Kaufman plays the god and also the devil, but not like two versions of himself or whatever. He's just the same guy.
Dude.
Yeah, the guy that owns God also owns heaven.
Yeah.
Which I can't believe is something that's never been explored before.
Yeah.
I mean, it must have been.
Certainly not in that way.
Yeah.
Because it was just sort of, they didn't labour the point or anything. It was just like, yeah, I own both, it's fine. And then that was just what it was.
Yeah.
But I quite enjoyed that.
To be fair, I was waiting for the Lloyd Kaufman cameo throughout the film. Like, I knew it was coming. The film, it's not as predictable as you might expect it to be. That last shot, mm-hmm. I thought was fucking hilarious.
Absolutely, that was so well done. I mean, I'm not going to say I second-guessed it or predicted it, but with grindhouse movies or grindhouse throwbacks or whatever, all bets are off.
Yeah.
Anyone can die. And I'm not going to... Well, that's probably spoiled it already.
Well, we're already in spoiler land. So.
We are. But yeah, I guess I wasn't too surprised by that, but it was handled brilliantly. And that shot was wonderful.
Yeah.
Just kind of zooming away from them. That was brilliant.
Yeah, sort of tracking back. It was really good.
Yeah.
And yeah. I'm just going to go ahead and spoil it, because you're sort of dancing around it.
Yeah.
But like, I love that, like, she gets to go back, the sister gets to go back, and they're like, yeah, let's go back, and then they're just dead.
hope.
That was, like, any sort of issues that I had with the film just evaporated in that exact moment, and that's exactly how to end a film. Like, if you end a film on a high note, it doesn't matter.
Yeah. It was brilliant. I enjoyed the whole movie a lot.
Yeah.
Are we ready to wrap up?
We definitely are.
Okay.
Go on, do it. Do your rap in.
I'm going first again.
Do it as a rap.
I'm not doing it as a rap. That would be horrendous.
Go on, I'll lay down a beat for you.
No, don't. I didn't really know what to expect, because like I just said, with Grindhouse movies or like Grindhouse throwbacks or this new wave of Grindhouse, you just can't really second guess them. So I wasn't entirely sure what to expect. I knew it was going to be pretty offensive, balls to the wall kind of stuff, because it's trauma. Exactly. I knew to expect that. But despite that, there were several moments during the film where I was just like, what? Kind of looking at Matt going, are you seeing this? Am I imagining this? It was pretty weird, even for them, I think. But I just thought it was brilliant. I spent the entire... It was one of those experiences where I was sat there thinking, am I enjoying this? I'm laughing at the appropriate moments. Oh, that shot was pretty cool. And then it ended and I was just like, that was awesome. That was brilliant. I want to watch that again. I want to introduce other people to this film. So yeah, like, purely, objectively, 7.5.
Wow, that's a good score.
I loved it. I did. Go on then.
I'm going to agree with everything you said, pretty much. It's a lot of fun. Like I said, I was disappointed that it didn't just sort of play it a bit straighter. But, I mean, it's a trauma film, so...
Yeah.
I mean, I should have known, really. I'd probably give it 6.5.
Okay.
Where do you stack it in the other sort of throwbacks?
I don't know, really, because... Like you were saying, they didn't play it completely straight, but I mean, a lot of them don't. Even things like Machete had that very kind of wry sense of humour. Like, it never... It sort of presented itself as a Grindhouse throwback, but it wasn't serious. Like,
yeah.
Short of them winking at the camera, it was, you know... I don't know.
Well, I mean, if you look at stuff like Planet Terror,
Death Proof.
Death Proof was very serious. Homer with a Shotgun was pretty serious too.
I mean, there's a bunch of them though. Like, Hell Ride. That was terrible though. That would have benefited from a sense of humour, I think.
Is that the one with Michael Madsen?
Yes, that was terrible. Bitch Slap. There's a whole bunch of them that have come out recently. I think it stacks up pretty well, to be honest.
Yeah, definitely. I would put it up there, like, in the top lot.
Yeah, definitely. And considering the budget, that's pretty damn impressive.
Really, really is.
Because, I mean, if you compare it to something like Machete, to say they made that for 10 grand, I'm pretty sure Danny Trejo got paid a fuck ton more than that just for being in Machete.
You mean a fuckman.
Yes. So that is definitely really impressive.
Yeah, definitely. I think it's great. It's genuinely funny. And like some of the like, there's this really like sort of neat out of character moments that I liked, and it's great.
If you're a fan of trauma, if you're a fan of the ridiculous, then get on it. Absolutely.
I think if you're not a fan of trauma, this might be a good way in.
I suppose, yeah.
It's because it's trauma-y enough, but it's not like. It's not like Yaniv Sharon's dick in your face. Like
it would work well as gateway trauma.
It definitely would work wonderfully as gateway trauma.
Yeah.
And on that note, we're gonna walk through a gateway into the next segment. I did an arm movement then.
Ooh, tenuous.
We'll be right back after this break to talk about some of the stuff we've got coming up and some other stuff, maybe. We'll see.
Maybe somewhere about Grimm.
Yeah. We're back after this.
Last time on Explodify.
Ryan Thompson is a disease. And I am Robert Smith of The Cure.
Mulder's voiceover tells us how the disappearance of his sister has fueled his quest for the truth. In case you forgot that his, you know, sister was abducted when he was young.
Wait. I'll get naked on a webcam? What the fuck did I just come into?
A shape-shifting alien.
The aliens have begun to colonize our planet.
Skinner tells Mulder to terminate his investigation immediately.
Agent Weiss shoots the bounty hunter who bleeds green ooze, which seems to be toxic to the agent.
So there's different kinds of aliens and different kinds of green blood, and the different blood does different things. I want some goddamn continuity.
Maybe that's in the second episode when Samantha is... Oh, spoiler. Oh, my God. I'm going to cut that out.
Scully takes the bus disguised in a tracksuit. Not very well disguised.
No. This bit really made me laugh when she's like sneaking around dressed in a tracksuit with a little, you know, like, ooh, no one's following me. And then she just gets on the bus. Hi, Mulder. This is where I'm going. I'll see you later.
She is revealed to be Mulder's sister, Samantha.
Samantha she's alive. No, wait. She's alive.
The cold is keeping him alive.
Later, Mulder visits Scully at her motel. At that moment, she receives a phone call from Mulder.
There's a lot of goo in this episode.
This episode and the one that we'll review next week were the first time that I actually thought that the myth arc was going somewhere, and I have full confidence that that's completely going to be shot to shit as I continue the series.
Hey, Mom, I miss your vagina.
What? And we're out. Bye.
I apologize for the odd nature of this cast. It's just difficult to talk about one episode without the other. So maybe next week we'll be a bit more sort of cohesive and we'll do it.
Next week, full context to everything that happened in this episode.
Well, let's not make promises we can't keep now.
Okay, fine. Next week, random banter about next week's episode as well as this week's episode.
And I want to apologize to anyone who I have offended, especially you, Mom.
Back after a longer break than usual, for us at least. And we're just going to talk about some bits and bobs. It's Grimfest this weekend. If you're listening to this on Tuesday or Wednesday, there's still tickets for the Sinister. I think there's still tickets for quite a lot of the shows. I think Friday may have sold out. But there's still tickets for some stuff, but there's mostly tickets for the screening of Sinister and American Mary, which is in Stockport tomorrow, which is Wednesday.
That surprises me.
Well, they're 2-for-1 as well. So, basically, it works out £4 each.
Yeah, but both films have been received really well so far, so it surprises me that they can't get shut of them, seemingly.
I mean, Stockport's a weird place. It's out of the way. It's well out of the way, and it's just a small town. So it's probably a situation like when I went to see Wreck in Bracknell and expected there to be a big crowd. So I booked my super fancy cinema seats well in advance, and then I was the only person in the theatre.
Okay.
So I imagine it's a better thing like that.
Yeah.
But I mean, I'm sure they've sold some tickets. I'm going to be there anyway, so if you go, you get to see me.
Well, that's reason enough, isn't it?
2-for-1 to see me. That's an absolute bargain.
I've got a feeling the films might be slightly more of a draw, but you're a close second.
Yeah. It goes Edward... No. Who's in it? Ethan Hunt? Ethan...
Hawke.
Ethan Hawke? Ethan Hunt's...
Ethan Hunt's a fictional character.
He could be in a film. He's in at least 4 films. I've seen them.
Me too. He's still not a real person, though.
Totally is. He's based on a real guy. It might be. I have no idea. So, yeah, there's that. We're going to have some Grimfest specials. I was going to say Gorecast, but you have that anyway. There's going to be some Grimfest specials coming your way. We've got some interviews booked. I'm going to be watching all the films, apart from 2, I think. Sarah's going to be joining me on Sunday for some Super Sunday action of films.
Yeah. Are we going to be... like, representing, wearing our Gore Press t-shirts.
Mine's a little bit small for me. I put on a bit of weight, and now it's too small.
Well, wear it anyway.
But I look like a weird...
I'll bring you a larger size, then.
Yeah, do that. That's probably a better idea. I can also give you the other Gore Press t-shirt that I never gave you.
Oh, my God. I'd forgotten all about that. That's... yeah. Do that.
And you can wear that, so we're not wearing the same t-shirt.
Okay.
Magic. So yeah, there'll be some Grimfest stuff coming your way. You can go to grimfest.internet for all the, Grim...
That's not a thing.
I don't know what the website is.
It's grimfest.com. Just grimfest.com, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, it is. There's some new stuff going on the site. My sort of Thursday columns, Dangerous Thursdays, they're okay, I guess. People seem to be reading
them. It's a good read. After that blip of...
I'm bad at the computer.
The absent column in week two.
Yeah,
but yeah, they're a good read.
We're three deep now. There's a nice one coming this week. I liked last week's a lot. I really enjoyed writing it.
Yeah, you sort of stole my thunder a bit there, because I've been thinking of writing a piece on feminism and horror movies for a while.
You still can. I mean, I only sort of brushed the surface.
I will. I might leave it a little while, though.
Right. Fair enough. Well, I only really brushed the surface and didn't talk in too much depth. And I only really talked about male filmmakers working in a sort of feminist milieu.
Well, I've got some... we've never really sort of embraced Women in Horror Recognition Month before. Excuse me.
Which is what... Is it February?
I think it is February, yeah. It's early on in the year, so I'm thinking maybe save up things like that for next year.
I think... Well, last time I embraced...
Probably going to do like a top five Final Girls feature, that sort of thing, to coincide with that, maybe?
Yeah, that sounds good. We should do like... Yeah, we could do that. That sounds like something we should do.
We should do like a Women in Horror month for the Gorecast.
Yeah.
Like maybe female directors?
Well, there aren't many of those.
There aren't many.
But we could definitely do that, yeah. Last time I embraced Women in Horror month, I got my shit put through the ringer. So,
yeah. So, let's see if we can top that this year, next year.
I was hoping I might stir up some controversy with the image that I put on my
gore boobs.
On my gore boobs.
Nobody's shocked by anything anymore.
Oh.
Maybe it's just old news.
Maybe.
Anyway.
And so there's what else is there? There's a bit about. Oh, fuck it. The Eurogame Expo.
That's Euro literally Gamer just Expo. Gone live. Yep.
Yeah.
Nick was at the Eurogamer Expo last weekend, and she's done a nice little write up of her sort of top. I think it's the top five most anticipated horror games that are upcoming, which is pretty cool.
That's gone into games, and I think it should have gone into features or maybe event reviews.
I'll sort that out for you then, Mr. Pedant.
That's me. there's some reviews going up. There's Attack of the Werewolves. Avenge of the Werewolves is what I was going to say. It's not even a thing.
Attack of the Werewolves. We've had a review go up yesterday. Dave reviewed it. He really enjoyed it.
Excellent. I'll be talking to the director at Grimm, possibly.
Yeah. We've also got a competition. We've got three copies of the DVD to give away. That just went live yesterday and is running for 2 weeks.
So you can win that.
And it's a ridiculously easy question this time round, so there are absolutely no excuses.
When do werewolves transform? On the first Sunday of every month, on their birthday, or during a full moon? Mm. What if the full moon's on their birthday? The answer's both.
Well, try and put that in and see what it does. Anyway.
It's not going to go, wah, you're wrong, douchebag.
I might try and install something that does that, though, in my voice to make it extra annoying.
Okay, yeah. Well, let's wrap up this.
The other thing. If you're not already listening to the Monster Island Resort podcast, you should be. I can't remember the exact address offhand, but if you tap that into Google, you'll find it very, very easily. It's awesome.
Played the promo on last week's show as well, yeah.
Yeah, it's a really cool podcast I've been listening to. Been trying to catch up lately. It's really, really great. And hopefully I'll be doing a guest spot on that at some point. So that could be pretty cool. Yeah. Excited.
I want to do some guest spots on some podcasts.
Hey, no dice, Jamie.
You get everything.
Hey, not true.
No, it's not. You get more because you're a girl.
Not true.
I didn't get interviewed for Girl Gone Geek.
Well, why is that, do you think?
Exactly, because I'm not a girl.
It's a tough life, isn't it?
It is. Fucking.
And on that note,
privilege.
I think that's a wrap.
Yes.
And week three of Trauma Month.
That is week three of Trauma Month in the old bag.
in the old bag.
Yes. Well, it's in you, I guess.
Yeah, I'm just spoiled, aren't I? I get everything.
Well, I've not made a joke about your age all episode.
True.
Next week we're doing what? Combat Shock?
Combat Shock, yeah, I'm really excited for that. I've never seen it.
American Nightmares. We'll talk about that next week.
Yeah.
So for now, we're gonna end on I always try and make a song, like find a song that's sort of vaguely relevant.
You always try and make a song?
I make
songs. You should do that. Let's make that a thing. You can write a song about the film that we've just watched, and that's how we can end the show every week.
That's like a lot of work.
Oh, it'd be worth it, I'm sure.
Maybe when one of the guitarists in my band is on tour at the moment in around the UK, and the other guitarist is on tour in Germany. But maybe when they're back. But when they get back, Doug goes to our drummer goes to America.
I think we're spending. So what are you ending the show on?
I'm just thinking that's something that we could possibly do. Like I play in a horror punk band. If you were around over Halloween, we'll be playing some shows as the Misfits. So yeah, keep an eye out for that.
When you say around, you mean in Manchester? I take it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think we've got two shows on the 27th, and then. Two on the actual Halloween.
Sweet.
But yeah, so we're going to end the show on Gone Daddy Gone by the Violent Femmes.
See what you did there.
Yeah, clever, isn't it? on that note, stay the fuck spooky. All you.
Beautiful girl, love your dress. High school smiles, oh yes. Beautiful girl, love your dress. Where she is now, I can only guess. Cause it's gone, daddy gone. Love is gone, it's gone, daddy gone. Love is gone, it's gone, daddy gone. Love is gone, it's gone, daddy gone. Love is gone away. When I see you, eyes will turn blue. When I see you, thousand eyes turn in blue. Cause it's gone, daddy gone. The love is gone. It's gone, daddy gone.
Crying, cause it's gone, daddy gone.